Gorgeous George and Ghost, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on!
From the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, this is MMA Junkie Radio.
We rollin'!
What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Ghost reporting for duty here on a Sunday night for your Monday morning delivery. Excited to talk to you about the latest in mixed martial arts, which includes recapping UFC 286, which took place this past weekend in London, England. We have a still champion in Leon Edwards, who defended his welterweight title over Kamaru Usman. Justin Gaethje defeated Rafael Fiziev in the co-main event. I really want to dive into both of those. And, of course, the trickle effect from big, big fights like those. You know, what's the winner going to do? What's the loser going to do? We're going to cover all that. The bonuses, the attendance, the drama, everything. And we'll be right back again, MMA Junkie Radio, on a Sunday night for your Monday, March 20th delivery. Well, a few things here. First of all, thank you to everybody that tuned in to our UFC 286 watch-along this past Saturday. We had a blast doing it, as always. I think Goz's ass has recovered because it was in the same spot for 6 hours. So he's finally back to normal. I'll let him comment on that at some point. And, you know, lots of stuff went on this weekend, man. It was the beginning of the March Madness tournament. And the reason I can say that is because there's a lot of people that just really don't like basketball, but they get in these brackets, these pools, and have fun with friends, and that's exactly what we did. So anyway, that along with St. Paddy's Day, hopefully it was a fun time for everyone. And you know, back to the grind, back to normal life. All right, goes UFC 286 in the books. Leon Edwards defeats Kamaru Usman by scores of 38.
No, you got to clear up the thing about my ass.
Okay. So yeah, it goes. You did not move from that same spot for 6 hours. Why is that?
Because I sat in a chair that was shaped like the greater than sign, I guess, if you tilted it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I got in a position where I was scared that when I stand up, I might get some kind of cramp or something really bad would happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we were packed in because we were in a different studio. Same Sticky Paw studio, but just different studio within the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And they just have these weird couches, man. Even John, when he sat down, he was like, dude, I'm getting rid of these. Said his back was all sweaty. I was thinking, that's the least of your concern, man. Sitting there for a while and see what happens. But yeah, at the end, I wanted to be on the other end of one of them tug-of-wars from Battle of the Network Stars. Like, someone just pulled me out that way. But yeah, that's what happened to my ass.
Goes look like he was a guy that's going down the, you know, at the Olympics, the ski jump. You know how they're in the squat position? That's what kind of Goes look like.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny. And I'm a sweaty bastard, and I wasn't too uncomfortable in him. And I'm obviously bigger than you guys. And
he said it was instant. Like, he'd only been there for like 5 minutes. And he's like, my back is so sweaty.
Oh,
I don't know. I didn't have that problem, but
all right. So Leon Edwards defended his title against Kamaru Usman. The scores were 48-46, 48-46, 47-47. So he won a majority decision. The reason we got 48-46 is more than likely, this was, well, not more than likely, it was likely. Two judges actually had it 4-1 for Leon Edwards, which is normally a 49-46 score. But they took away a point because of him grabbing the fence repeatedly. And so Herb Dean took away a point. So even the other score, I guess, was 48-47 for Leon Edwards. And taking the point away, you came out with a 47-47. And remember, if another judge had scored like Lethaby, that was his name, the one that gave the 47-47, Leon Edwards would have retained his title. It technically would have been called a title retention, I believe, versus a title defense. But I look at it as a title defense because one way or another, you did enough to keep your belt. So you defended it. And, well, we didn't have that problem. You know, 4-1 on 2 judges' scorecards. Impressive work by Leon Edwards. Fun fight goes. I thought it was pretty compelling. Both guys kind of answered those questions that we had going into the fights. And, I mean, I don't want to say I want to see him again because we've already seen him 3 times. But I'm looking forward to both guys fighting again, whoever they may be. And maybe in 3 years, if they lock horns again, which is what Usman plans to do. He didn't say 3 years, but he wants to do it again. Leon Edwards clearly said, no, I'm moving on. I would enjoy it because these guys, like I say, they just entertain me, man, for those 25 minutes.
Yeah. So I actually thought about this a little bit more today. And I don't know why this didn't bother me as much when we were watching the fight. But the fence grabbing, I started thinking about it. It's a title fight where you have to grab on to just about every hair, like when it comes down to a judge's scorecard or whatever. And I started thinking, should Usman be more mad about that? Because if he does complete that takedown, it's early in the fight, earlier in the fight. And if he can kind of just take the wind out of Leon Edwards, right? Just stay on top of him. Who knows what kind of emotions go through Leon Edwards? You know, I'm back again in the same problem that I had in the first 2 fights. Who knows where his confidence goes? Who knows what Kamaru could have done damage-wise? I'm wondering if we should be talking more about that. I haven't heard too much about that. I get it. A point was taken away.
Mm-hmm.
But, shit, I mean, I think there's something to be said about what could have happened. That does kind of suck. Now, I don't know that you can do much about that. Mm-hmm. You're not going to take away 2 points, right? Like, but that is something that kind of made me think a little bit more past that. Now, aside from all that, great fight. It just looked like they switched roles in the second fight. You know, from the get-go, from the very beginning, mm-hmm. you could see in Leon Edwards' eyes, his demeanor, he was just a different fighter. And as the fight went on, you saw in Kamaru's eyes what we saw in Leon Edwards' eyes towards the end. You know, he just kind of seemed a little overwhelmed and just out of his league. We never see that at Kamaru Usman. That's what I called him. Kamaru Usman.
Mm. Okay, so the first thing you said, I don't think there's just too much we can do. Is it fair? You know, well, the guys... There's ways to manipulate the rules in every sport. The other day I was watching a Manchester United game and somebody had a breakaway and Luke Shaw just clearly comes out, boom, trips him. Homeboy falls down, but it allows the Manchester United defense to reset. And Luke could do that because he wasn't the last guy and they weren't near the goal. It was just kind of like a purposeful trip. And he knew that he was getting a yellow. He kind of like, all right, you know, but he did what he needed to do to save that defense, mm-hmm. and or at least not even put himself in a position where, you know, something can happen. Anyway, so here in this case, if fighters kind of start to add up and put 2 and 2 together and basically say, well, we're going to hold the fence because I'd rather get A, the warning, maybe it's a passive warning, or B, the point deduction, but yet with 4 minutes left on the clock, and I'm not sure exactly when that one happened, but I'm giving you an example.
Mm-hmm.
If with 4 minutes on the clock, you're not to be under a beast, it may actually pay off for you, you know? And I think what's going to happen, going back to Asunso and Davy Grant last week, and then this week, I think ABC, when they meet up again and talk about the unified rules of MMA, it will be addressed. I'm not saying there'll be a change, but there might be a change. For one, there could be the old, I'm going to leave you in that position and I still take the point away.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
or a position, right? Like just a go-to position.
Yeah, there might be a standard position of the guy that was holding the fence. You know, that they're going to argue, well, I wasn't all the way down. Are you going to put some guy completely on top of me?
Right.
Who knows? But basically, they're going to do something so that that stops happening. And it kind of reminds me of the grounded opponent rule. When guys, remember about 10 years ago, everybody was putting their two hands down. And so then they had to make adjustments. Like it either had to be your knuckles or your palms so that you didn't have the ability to just boop, pop back up, you know, and kind of play that game like your offensive lineman kind of getting into a three-point stance. You actually had to have more of a commitment of your body being that way. So, you know, there's, like I say, there's little tweaks that do come up. So I just think Leon Edwards was the better fighter on Saturday night. I'm not saying that this wouldn't have made a difference. It may have. I don't know. But the reason it didn't get talked about much goes, I think, is because we just basically dealt with it with the rules we have. And that's it. There's really not too much else you could ask from a ref other than what I just said. It's just not in the rule book for them to handle it that way.
Now, well, aside from that,
we discussed it. I take it back. We discussed it there. And Eric Nixick said that he has seen it or something like that. We need to follow up on that and see if that is, in fact, a way that Herb or Keith Peterson could have dealt with it. Go ahead. Sorry to cut you off.
Well, aside from that, Leon Edwards looked fantastic. He looked like he could have beat anyone in the world that night, the way he fought that fight. You have to give him his props for that. Kamaru Usman, I don't know what to say about his performance because we've never seen him really look like that. But at the same time, it's so hard to say that maybe he lost a step or something just because Leon was so great. You know, like I think he would have done that to just about anyone.
Right. And where I think Kamaru, where what he might regret is maybe standing for too long. And yeah, his attempts to get the fight to the ground were too far and few in between. I think he should have gone to it sooner. And I think he should have done it more often. At the expense of your gas tank, sure. But Kamaru has proven he's pretty damn strong for 25 minutes, no matter what. But I just think this was contested too much on the feet. And I don't want to take anything away from Usman's game. He's shown before, like I've pointed out, pre-fight, breaking Colby's jaw. You know, he's got power, knocking out Masvidal, giving him his first knockout loss. You know, he can throw some hands now. Trust me, I'm well aware of that. But I just think that's more the world where Leon wants to be. You know, you could tell, man, when he was on the ground, he was thinking, and everything he had trained for the last 6 months, he was going through the motions and applying it and getting up. He had no interest in the ground. In fact, I don't even remember Leon really wanting to keep the fight to the ground. I think there may have been one attempt that Leon did.
There was.
That looked more like to just put it in Kamaru's head versus this is some real offense I'm throwing at you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know, man. I thought he looked tremendous, and now I'm curious, like, what do you do with such, because it's such a cluster, right? But what do you do with Kamaru Usman after this? How do you handle that? Where do you put him? Because he's been so dominant. You know, it's a guy that we've talked about being perhaps the greatest welterweight of all time, right? Yeah. Right on GSP's heels. Now what? If, like, really, look at it from a business standpoint. If you're the UFC, do you want this guy just picking people off?
Well, okay, I'm going to pull up the USA Today Sports MMA Junkie rankings, and we're just going to go one by one. Because it's a clusterfuck, man, this whole welterweight division. We didn't know this when we left you guys on Wednesday night for Thursday morning show. We didn't know that Colby Covington was the backup. And so he weighed in when Leon and Kamaru weighed in. He weighed in at 170. So he made championship weight. And if anything would have happened to one of the two, Colby would have subbed, which would have sucked if it was Usman versus Covington again. But no sense in talking about it. It didn't happen. But I just thought it was a stupid decision to have him there. I thought Bilal Muhammad definitely was more worthy of being a sub because he's earned that spot. He's been more active. He's got an 8 or 9 fight winning streak. I got it right here in front of me. Yeah, because that one was a no contest. Four, yeah, eight fights in a row. Solid wins along the way. And he, you know, he earned that spot. And so that kind of bugged me a little bit. Now, if that ain't enough, Colby's already been told that he fights Leon Edwards next, which is bizarre because Dana White never talks about, he doesn't make fights on fight night. You know how many times he admonished poor John Morgan or whoever asked that first question and kind of, you know, knows that that's a possibility they might get smashed, but they ask it anyway because we're all curious and Dana's done it before, and then Dana has to be snarky and say, I never do that, you know, and here he goes. He did it. This guy's next, and that's just stupid. I don't get it.
And the reason he gives is like, look, man, the guy showed up, he made weight, but give us some more backstory. Like, was that offered to Bilal? Did Bilal say no? If that's the case, then maybe I can kind of understand, but he's just the rightful guy. Like, I really don't understand what the deal is. Him, Beneil Dariush, I don't get why there's these certain fighters. Even with Benny, maybe you could say, all right, he's a quiet dude. He doesn't really look the part. Bilal's got a great personality. He's great on the mic. They're both fun to watch. Why do they keep getting the shaft like that?
I don't know. And it really, really bothers me because I try and cover the sport consistently. And when the blueprint works and it's beautiful and there's a guy that's a clear-cut number one contender, guy or gal, and then he's next, it's just this, it's this great process that we love to see in sports. You know, how many times do you remember Michael Jordan just getting beat up by the Detroit Pistons? And then finally he gets over on them. Remember when the Pistons wouldn't shake hands and shit? Mm-hmm. And so then, you know, he goes on to win titles. It's like a mantle gets passed from the Lakers in Boston in the 80s to the Detroit Pistons to the Chicago Bulls. You know what I mean? It happens that way. And I've seen it in sports. I've seen it also in football as well. A team will come up just short, you know, and then the next year they're able to push through and win a Super Bowl or something. And here, it's just like, either what have you done for me lately, or have you been bitching about your contract? You know, like, do we just like you? Can you sell? It makes zero sense. Colby Covington hadn't fought in over a year, and yet he's next. Like, he beat Jorge Masvidal. That was a solid win. I won't take that away from him, right? But the fight before that, he lost to Kamaru Usman. So, like, there's no run here. There's no, like, but he's won 5 of 6 or 4 in a row. And even then, 5 of 6, 7 of 8, it's still not 8 in a row like Bilal Muhammad has done. Mm-hmm. And what do they not think and say, okay, obviously this probably won't happen, but if it does and somehow Edwards can't fight, we're just going to throw these guys, Usman and Colby, for the third time? Like, you know, like, what's the incentive there? I could see Usman going, what? I mean, I'm going to do this? And both Usman and Edwards said they didn't even know. That's another – that to me is bullshit. Now, I know Dana White will say, our guys are supposed to be ready. Well, yeah, I guess. A fight's a fight. You know, we're proving who the toughest is at a certain weight class. But I still think there's something to be said for knowing beforehand and thereby maybe getting some reps in, studying a certain guy, just in case this does happen.
Yeah, that's weird. That to me is like WWE. You just hear the music and the guy comes out of nowhere and you go, what the fuck? Like,
right.
That's just not right.
It's dumb. It's amateur hour, man. And that's what makes me mad is, again, most of the time I'm defending the UFC. I'll be watching March Madness and everybody will tell me, you know, these arenas are full and the sports books are full and college basketball is a $1 billion industry and how about your sport, George? What's going on with them? Oh yeah, man, we're coming along too, and this and that. But in reality, I'm also knowing that we're the Muppet Show at times, mm-hmm. and this was the Muppet Show. And Bilal Muhammad for sure would have done that, in my opinion. At least that's how he's acting on social media. And guess what? If not Bilal Muhammad, I mean, I don't know if that necessarily Colby's the next one down. I suppose because Burns and Masvidal are locked up, but I don't know. This stinks. It stinks. And so now Colby, even worse than that, is Colby's next. Because we kept saying, well, what if Masvidal does something great against Burns? Mm-hmm. So you got the storyline of three-piece in a soda, and then respect to Edwards, but Edwards would probably be like, yep, because that guy is a pay-per-view draw, Jorge Masvidal. You know right. what I mean? So why wouldn't he, A, want to revenge the three-piece in a soda, and B, also get the biggest payday possible? Like, I think Edwards has kind of earned that. You know what I mean? Definitely. To at least be in the discussion. Maybe the UFC calls all the shots or whatever, but I think they need to kind of like talk it over with Edwards as a group. They all huddle and they can all point out what makes sense and what doesn't. If I'm Edwards, I'd be pissed right now. I'd be like, what? Like, you know, and Edwards also was very mature and professional in the way that he described it. He goes, man, all the stuff that I had to do, my journey to get here, and this guy just slides right in. He goes, you know, this don't make sense.
His journey was horrible, by the way.
Huh?
His journey was horrible.
It was horrible. It was horrible the way so many things, you know, worked out. But now he's there and he's doing great and the crowd went nuts and it was an epic fight, epic main event. Oh, man, don't get me started, too, because, again, I think he said we broke the record for the O2 Arena. And, you know, the place was popping. It's one of my favorite places to come. London, the food, the people. You know, the vibe. Oh, okay, cool. Let's get to the bonuses. All right, cool. So, fight of the night, Gaethje and Fiziev, right? And then performances of the night go to Gunnar Nelson and – no, sorry. Yeah, no, it is Gunnar Nelson. Gunnar Nelson and Jake Hadley. And then everyone's kind of like, and? You know, like, are you going to – this is where you tell us you're probably just going to bonus them all because you did it last year in London. So why not do it this time in London? You know, everything you wanted sold out. So the gate did well. The arena brought it. The fighters brought. There's other guys that finished on this card. Why aren't they getting it?
Well, how many times do we say? There's one word we always go back to. It's consistency.
Right. It's frustrating, man. It really is frustrating. And I don't get one dime of it. It's not like I get anything. I imagine the fighters think it too, but the fighters can't really voice it because they're just, they're just kind of along there for the ride. And usually, you know, when they voice it, when they're retired or at the end, everyone's all pissed off and they know they're on their way out and they're all pissed. But guess what else goes? Last year, by the way, was on fight night. This was a pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like even in fact, I don't even think Dana was there last year. I can't remember if he was. I don't think he was. I don't even think he was there last year, and he was there this year. But from Vegas, he just phones it in. Yeah, give them all a bonus, man. It was rocking and rolling. I could feel it on TV on my big screen. But there being in person, he just sat there and watched it all happen, and then just went 4 bonuses. We're good.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Dumb. But I'm getting off topic here. Edwards gets Covington next, and you had originally said a two-part thing. What's next for Usman? Look, they all say the same thing, right? I gotta go home and hug my daughter and think it over and huddle up and this and that. But see, Usman goes is a competitor, and I could see Usman, this is really gonna eat up at him because, like he said all week, I basically was owning you in fight number 2 up until you won it. I basically had shut you down. You know, we were just kind of cruising to the finish line. And I got careless and you threw that kick. And in fight number 1, I dominated you in that. So what's Usman going to do? I mean, okay, let's go one by one. He can't fight Covington because Covington's next for Edwards. Bilal Muhammad, they told us there at the event, he's next for Khamzat Chimaev already. And by the way, if I'm hearing that,
he's Shavkat.
Sorry, you're right. Shavkat, yeah. And Burns is locked up with Masvidal. So, Stephen Thompson, Jeff Neal, Vicente Luque. Is that going to get Kamaru Usman excited? Probably not, but he's 2-0 against Masvidal, 2-0 against Colby. Burns was a tough fight for him because they were former training partners. So, you know, maybe is this the time to maybe just try one fight at middleweight because his boy's out, you know, Izzy's out, and just, hey, give me a tough middleweight and I'll fight them.
I actually thought about something, George. And right now it popped in my head again because you said his boy. Now that he's not champ, do you think a little bit of being friends with Francis Ngannou is going to come back to hurt him? The same way we all feel it bled over into Kevin Lee's life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they just shared an agency.
How do you think it might hurt him?
Just make him sit around, give him matchups he doesn't like. Couldn't do it before because he was the champ.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't it affected him this fight?
Well, no, because you got to give him the rematch, right? He was winning four rounds.
You know, it's possible because look at the way we just talked about the UFC the last 10 minutes about how just unreasonable, how dumb they can be. And so, I could see that happening. But from what I remember, they seem to be pretty cool. So I think it'll just be, you know, whoever's kind of available and ready to go when they need it. So they got that board. I think they call it the war room. They got the board. And when things are going smooth and everything's mapped out, it's like, cool. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, either an injury happens or a sequence of events where they find themselves a little bit, you know, short on some bodies. And that's when they have to pick up the phone and go, hey, listen, bro, we'll tack on another 100 grand or 500 grand, or we need you to do this. And they call the fighter. If the fighter's ready to go, they're ready to go. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe there'll be something like that just pops up for Kamaru Usman that makes him go, okay. And then that's where Usman goes, I'm doing you a solid. Can I get a title shot if I win and Leon loses to Colby because I've beaten Colby? You know, and that's where all of a sudden these payoffs take place. These favors get paid off. So, I don't know. I mean, that to me would be horrific if somehow Bilal won, puts his quarter on the arcade machine yet again, waits for Covington and Edwards, and let's say Covington wins and they give it to Usman over Bilal. Oof. You know, like they just
imagine?
Stepped over. Like, it's kind of happening with Benny, so it's not like it's impossible. Mm-hmm. I think Benny's in an identical spot with like 8 in a row. I don't know. I think it'll be like a veteran, probably not Luque because they used to train together. So I could see,
it's such a tough sell when Kamaru Usman's in trouble right now.
Jeff Neal, maybe,
he's fought the guy at the top 3 times, he's fought the guy that's about to fight the guy at the top twice, he's fought Masvidal twice, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Like all the guys that are in the mix, you really have to put him in a situation where you can sell something a little strange, right? A fourth fight or a third fight that doesn't need to happen. Like, he's just in a really, really rough spot right now.
Yeah, I would say Jeff Neal or go to middleweight and just test it. Uh-huh. Right now, Pejeda's going to fight Israel Adesanya. If Israel Adesanya wins, you just do your middleweight fight and then you come back down, see how welterweight shakes out. Maybe Colby's champ, and then all of a sudden you go, hey, wait a minute, I own 2 wins over that guy. Let's do this. Or if Pejeda beats Izzy, well, then Izzy has to sit on the sideline until someone can beat Pejeda. And maybe Usman can make a run at him. Who knows? But for Edwards, that's just the star of the night. You know what I mean? Like, he's the one that's got all kinds of options. He's got a big money fight waiting for him with Masvidal. He's got, I mean, look, I don't even want to say Colby's a chump or anything like that. I don't want to sound like that. I like Colby. It's just he's had his run. We've supported him when it was his time, but just right now isn't his time. It's Bilal Muhammad's time. But I will say that Colby versus Edwards would probably be, it wouldn't be a blockbuster, but I think it would probably be something people would look forward to.
Yeah, I think people would be down with that.
Yeah,
I mean, so the way Edwards he fought has
all kinds of options, and it sounds like he wants to, you know, fight while he's healthy and young.
Gotta stay healthy. That's the thing. He's got so many options. And if he looks as great as he did in this last fight, he could make something happen up there.
Yeah. Congrats to Leon Edwards. This is his first title defense. And congrats to London. I could tell from watching the fight with Goz at the Sticky Paws studio that it was pretty much rocking and rolling. And Dana's right. I would love to get to a London show sometime, especially some sort of a pay-per-view. I've had that, you know, since they've even started going. But, you know, when it really, really came into play, Goz, was just watching Fury and Klitschko. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, or even watching like FA Cups or
Wembley looks amazing.
The Carabao. Yeah, dude, they just really, really go out for anything that has to do with Wembley or sporting events. You know, we've had the 2012 Olympics over there. I think they're going to host another World Cup soon. They just really know how to do it, man. They, you know, I watch Premier League. The stadiums are rocking and rolling every weekend, no matter what the event.
Yeah.
All right. In the co-main event, Justin Gaethje defeated Rafael Fiziev. It looked like it was not going to be Gaethje's night. Fiziev was fast, accurate, and hit him pretty hard. Leg kicks, kicks to the body, punches, everything. But about halfway through, Justin Gaethje told him, I ain't going nowhere. I'm still here. And even though he looked, you know, the slower of the two, he was the more durable of the two. And the tide started to turn. However, I will say this. I don't want to take anything away from Justin Gaethje's win. It was a solid win. And I don't even think I've heard Fiziev say anything about this. But that eye poke, you know, you did see Fiziev kind of swatting at his eye a little bit. You know, it happened, okay? And Gaethje capitalized, and I remember hit him a couple times, and I think that helped with the downfall. Now, even if the eye poke doesn't happen, I think Gaethje still wins, but I felt like it was some sort of a turning point.
A lot of people are saying that the damage came from that. It was already there. Go back and watch. It was already kind of bleeding before that. Yeah, I mean, anytime you get poked in the eye, it's going to suck. But I
didn't see him swiping at the eye until after the eye poke.
Perhaps, yeah. But yeah.
Damage was there, I believe you guys. But the eye poke is something that it takes a second. I wish fighters could get that little break, which I guess they can now.
Yeah.
Where they can go and kind of like just squirt water in your eyes and be able to rub it out a little bit, maybe give the guy a towel. And I think it could maybe help out some, but some fighters want to, you know, they smell blood or they sense that the tide might turn if it doesn't happen. But I think that's way better than still kind of wincing and blinking and not being all together there when another guy's freaking throwing, you know, leather at you like that or kicks. Hell no.
Yeah, that's weird, man, because where do you criticize Fiziev, like what he did? He didn't really do all that much bad. His mm-hmm. defense obviously can use some work,
mm-hmm.
But they were throwing bombs. Like, he landed his best punches on Justin Gaethje. He had a decent game plan. I think it was just all about Justin Gaethje being better, having better fight IQ in this fight for once.
Yeah, he started going up the middle with uppercuts and he really, really hurt him with that collar tie and just landing punches right up the middle.
The uppercut was right on the money. He was patient because there were times where he probably would have gotten wrapped into a firefight had it been another fight. I think there's times where he said, okay, I can't let it get to that. And then the leg kicks were pretty dominant, and he started those early. So I thought that was just an amazing performance from him. And you can tell by the matchmaking what they wanted to happen in that fight. And I think there was a little bit of a chip on Justin Gaethje's shoulder because he probably realized that too.
Possibly, yeah. This could have been basically the anointing of Rafael Fiziev. Mm-hmm. And instead, Gaethje still, you know, said, nah, not on my watch. It's not going to happen. I've always felt like Gaethje is a favorite of the organizations, especially Dana White, but who knows? What I can tell you is Gaethje seems a little bitter, man. And I've seen this with a lot of fighters, but when he was talking to Daniel Cormier, he goes, and hopefully you guys will shut the fuck up now. I wrestled. And then he goes, oh, not the fans, because he started getting booed. Not the fans. either the media or the critics. And I heard a lot of people say that, right? Including us. Mm-hmm. Well, you won, didn't you? So maybe that did have something to do with it, because he did it a few times and it helped. I think it helped, you know. I still think that, dude, if you're a defense in football and the other teams constantly will say running, you know, they're even in a wishbone, but then all of a sudden they throw a couple passes your way. And if you're that free safety, you got to be careful, man. You've seen it a few times. You definitely don't want to get burned by that. And so that's all we're saying is just those leg kicks that Gagey threw, I think they also helped. That he went away from him for a while, then he came back to him, then he went to the body, he started throwing the, he switched a few things around, and I think also the wrestling helped.
I want to go back to something you said earlier. I think the UFC does like him, but he does something that they don't like. And he's one of those fighters that likes that full camp and is not willing to just step in for no reason. He likes to have his full camps, and I'm sure that's probably come back to bite him a few times in the ass, I think, probably. But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it's not like we're giving this critique because we want to see him lose. Like, we're all saying we think you're a great fighter. You just haven't used all of your tools. You could probably be even better. And like I said, he won. Yeah, and he looked pretty good doing it.
I think so, too. I think he ticked all the boxes, and we can't wait to see him fight. And now the next time he'll fight, there'll be more buzz around it. You know, way more fans, probably more pay-per-views. But I think a lot of it had to do with him just throwing the whole kitchen sink at Fazeev. And Fazeev having to worry about a lot of things. Whereas if it was just like with him and Chandler, maybe, you know, just constant hands and hands and hands, and maybe we have a different result. I don't know. Later on, he also said, you know, he was pissed at Bisping for the way he called the fight. I have to go back and listen and see, but he was very favorable towards Leon Edwards, at least according to Justin Gaethje. And then they asked Justin Gaethje, well, who'd you think won? He goes, well, I had it for Usman. And then he goes, but I'm probably being biased. Well, you just accused Bisping of doing the same thing, and you're not being upfront with us and basically being transparent about it. So that's why I'm a little confused. But a lot of these fighters, they just seem to change a little bit. And I think a lot of it is them being bitter because they focus too much on the negativity rather than just realize it is just we're all entitled to fucking opinions. As long as we're not purposely trolling, constantly being jerks or disrespectful, it's just an opinion. Swipe past it. Go to the people that praise you, if that's all you can handle, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, I don't know. I just see it with so many fighters. So bitter, man. You know, this should be like a moment that they enjoy, and they're smiling and you the man right now, you know what I mean? And at that point, he's like getting things off his chest still. Like, come on.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, because I don't think it was always like that, you know, but I think it is. Maybe it's just listening too much to the wrong people, because really, I mean, look, man, there's so many people and their opinions are so close to you. All you got to do is click a button if you want to know what people think of you. Mm-hmm. And before, they used to have to tell you to your face. Now you just click a button and you hear it. But really, you should just soak in the opinions of people that you respect.
You know what the very beginning goes to of that post-fight? Somebody asked them a question, and it wasn't anything ridiculous at all. And he basically just took the time to think about it or whatever. And then he goes, I remember at some point he goes, you know, all you in here or something like that, you couldn't walk a day in our shoes. Or it's like, well, you're kind of right. You know, I suppose we couldn't fight at that level. Sure. I mean, if I would have started training 30 years ago, maybe I could have been good. I don't know. I think a lot of fighters kind of trip, you know, like stumble onto it, and then they wind up doing pretty good. But and I'm not saying me specifically, I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of people that are basically, you know, they have no intentions of doing MMA, and next thing you know, they do MMA and they wind up being good. So I don't understand that comment in terms of, like, why, again, the bitterness. The question was pretty respectful from what I remember, but yeah, he just said that, and we have an idea of what you go through. We see it. There's an appreciation. We're constantly begging the UFC to pay you guys more money, give you guys more respect. when you're a number one contender, you should be fighting for, you know, a title. Or when you're a number two contender, you should be fighting someone for the number one contender. You know, we're constantly saying that. I don't understand why that comment. Like, I was just sitting there baffled, man.
I hear that a lot, that type of opinion. And really, you know, is that like across the board? Like, do you kind of practice what you preach? Because it seems like, I don't know, have you ever gotten a cold or when you got COVID, how many people all of a sudden were doctors that you didn't know were doctors, right? I can't walk a mile in a doctor's shoes. Sometimes I have an opinion. Does it mean my opinion's dumb? I mean, I don't know. You can kind of research that and actually have a decent opinion. Politics, the military, right? We did our watch along with our buddy Bobby, right, for the first time. Mm-hmm. I don't think I could walk a mile in his shoes for one day after some of the things he was talking about, right? But sometimes, yeah, I have an opinion on what I believe the military should be doing or whatever.
I just watched the Oscars, and I don't think I could act like some of those actors do, you know, but I don't hear them saying that. I don't hear, mm-hmm, you know, Mahomes or anyone else, you know, saying, yeah, man, Chiefs, we did it. And by the way, none of you can do what we can do.
Yeah. Do you stand up? Do you stand up in the middle of a Super Bowl party and go, guys, lay off of the other team. You don't know what it's like to play.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I don't know. Love watching the guy fight. Hope he fights for the title one more time before his career's over. And I hope he still has fondness and love for that interim belt. That you remember when he put it on the ground?
Yeah.
And man, that should be just as proud of when he won the WSOF title. He's definitely one of the best lightweights I've ever seen. Definitely one of the funnest lightweights I've ever seen. And scary. Hopefully he doesn't leave with this bitterness in him. He should just be enjoying this last run that he has. And I see a path to maybe another title. I see if Bilal loses to, sorry, if Beneil loses to Charles Oliveira, I don't think it's going to be Oliveira versus Makhachev. I think it's going to be basically Makhachev versus fill in the blank. I don't think it'll be the winner of Chandler versus McGregor because A, I think they're going to do it at 170, and B, I don't even know if they're going to fight before then. So I see basically at this point, Poirier and Gaethje, one of those two getting it. I don't know if Gaethje can fight Poirier and then also fight for the title. That's three fights, two packed in before October. So, but I think I'd love to see both of those guys fight Makhachev. They both had a crack at Khabib and lost, but I'd love to see them both fight Makhachev and see what happens. But they also have to be realistic here. If, yeah, McGregor and Chandler go, all right, we'll do it at 55, and McGregor wins, he's a player, man, because he's a pay-per-view draw. If Volkanovski goes out there and does something against Ortega and then says, all right, I'm done with the belt, now I want Makhachev again. You know, Dana loved that fight. A lot of us did. And I could see them maybe wanting to run it back because he already paid attention to his division. You know, this and this is if Beneil loses. What if Beneil beats Charles Oliveira? You know, I mean, like, all of a sudden, you know, he might be back up there. So too many things can happen to just, you know, jerk around. So they just got to play it right. But if there's an opening, go for it.
You know what I thought during the watch along after Justin Gaethje's fight? I thought, I don't know why this popped in my head, but it did. I thought that man will never fight Conor McGregor ever. Gaethje. Unless the UFC absolutely hates Conor McGregor, I don't think they'll ever make that matchup. The dude hits way too hard. The attacks to the legs. He is an awful matchup for Conor McGregor. And I know he's asked for that fight a couple times here and there. He will never get it. Never. Unless the UFC hates Conor for some reason.
I could see that. Conor's a whole other issue, but I know we're going to discuss it on Spinning Backlick. And you can watch Spinning Backlick live every Monday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. We'll give you a little taste. But McGregor, throughout the week, you know, they wrapped up the filming of The Ultimate Fighter. And I think we may have discussed this already, but there's been some updates since then. He's saying, I just need two clean tests and then I can fight. USADA came out with a statement that said, nope, it's two tests and 6 months of being in the program. And they said, but we revert to the UFC. The UFC ultimately makes the decision. And when Dana White was asked about it in London, He said, no, I'm out of it. You can ask USADA. USADA handles that. Well, basically, he's putting it back in the hands of the body that said, well, if it's up to us, it's 2 tests and 6 months of being in the program. So
he kind of reverted to Nowitzki, too, though.
The exemption, then he basically shot himself in the foot. What's that?
He kind of reverted back to Nowitzki, too, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tricky situation, man. I mean, it really is a bad, bad look. But, I mean, they've had so many that they might as well. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if they did it. But yeah. To give that guy an exemption really just, it's a really bad look for the sport.
Let me tell you real quick that in the Edwards and Usman fight, all the judges didn't have identical scores. Two judges came up with 48-46s, but that's because Chris Lee went 10-9 four times and then Usman 10-8. Whereas Ben Cartlidge went 10-9 three times and then he called it 9-9. So he had given the round to Edwards, but then deducted the point. So it basically is the same thing as same score as Chris Lee. David Lethaby, he went 10-9 Edwards, 1-4-5, and then he gave Usman 10-9 for two and 10-8 for three, and that's why he came up with 47-47. If you look at MMA decisions, Edwards basically had a lot of 48-46 scores, which is basically four rounds to one minus the deduction. And then there was about another 10 that were basically 47-47, which means three rounds to Edwards, two to Usman, minus the point deduction. And remember, if it had been two guys calling it a draw or three guys calling it a draw, it still stays with Edwards. Only two people had it 48-46 for Usman. Basically, that means 48-47 with the point deduction, but there was only two outlets out of about what looks to be maybe 30. So, and trust me, after Dolidze and Vittori, we were like, whoa, there's some weird scoring going on here.
I actually scored it a draw. I on the night of, and I still have time. I want to go back and watch it one more time. I scored it a draw. I think our website scored it a draw now that I think about it. But
for Usman and Edwards?
Yeah, but I would not have a problem if somebody said 4-1. But I did have it being a draw at the end.
Danny Segura scored it for MMA Junkie, 48-46. So did Matthew Wells. And Junkie, whoever was doing play-by-play, they gave a 48-46. Nolan King did score it 47-47. So some of the writers were turning in scores on their own. But three of them had it 48-46 Edwards, and one had it 47-47.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In the Gaethje fight, by the way, this one was a majority decision for Justin Gaethje. Round one went 10-9 Fiziev two times, and then the other judge gave it to Gaethje 10-9. So judge number one is Mark Collette. He gave Fiziev round one, Gaethje round two, and then Gaethje won round three. Because remember, we were sitting there going, we think it's 1-1, but we don't know. Well, guess what? One of the judges, the second judge, Paul Sutherland, he gave Fiziev the first two rounds and Gaethje the last round. So Gaethje was drawing dead on his card. And then Clemens Werner had it backwards of Mark Collette. He gave Gaethje round one and Fiziev round two. So he was 1-1 going into round three, and he gave Gaethje round three. So this very easily goes, could have been Fiziev if because basically in round one, if it was the other way around, two Fizivs and one Gaethje, then Fiziev would have won the fight.
Yeah. I mean, that's the game that we have, right?
Yeah. Gaethje actually got a 10-8 out of Paul Sutherland. That might not be a bad call because, I mean, that might be a pretty decent call because he really battered him. In MMA decisions, about 20 scores were for Gaethje, 29-28, and about 10 scores were for Fiziev, 29-28, which basically matches what the judges did. So I think everyone should basically, you know, applaud themselves because everybody was kind of on the same wavelength. The only thing I don't see is someone in MMA decisions from any of the respected outlets going 10-8 for Gaethje on round three. But again, I'm not calling that guy crazy because he really, really put it on him.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
I don't remember in a long time a co-main event and a main event being such a blur because it was so entertaining that you almost forget to score the round.
Mm-hmm.
You just watch it.
Yeah, and enjoy it. That's what we're there to do. Jennifer Maia defeated Casey O'Neill. Marvin Vettori defeated Roman Dolidze and Duncan. Well, no, I'm skipping around here because I'm only giving you the decision fights. Sorry about that. Gunnar Nelson defeated Brian Barberina. That was an easy one. Armbar. I stand corrected. Nelson got the finish. He did his thing. And actually, it was a thing of beauty how he worked in that last minute against the clock to zero in on Barberina, you know, going from certain positions, advancing his positions, softening him up, and then getting that armbar was really, really nicely done. So nicely done to Gunnar Nelson. I was giving him shit for basically taking the win at a last year's event. Jennifer Maia defeated Casey O'Neill. O'Neill hadn't fought in over a year, coming off a serious injury. Maia just looked good, though, man. Nice hands, great movement. It wasn't an easy target to hit. And then Marvin Vettori beat Roman Dolidze. So you have any comments on Nelson, Maia, or Vittori's wins? I do want to spend some time on Vettori, Dolidze, but do you have anything on Maia and Nelson beating Barberina and O'Neill, respectively?
I thought, Nelson's is pretty easy. That was just a thing of beauty the way he did it. Like, he just went to his bread and butter. And the Maia fight, I was just so impressed by her movement.
Yes.
And her striking. You know, she's just improved. And I feel like Casey O'Neill maybe had a little bit of rust, but I don't think that's why she lost. I think a lot of credit needs to go to Maia.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. Then, yeah, I'm with you. I think I know where you're going here in the next fight.
Yeah, with Vettori and with Dolidze, us in the room, and that included Eric Nixick, myself, Goz, and Bobby from Fight Junkies, a show that's going to launch over at Sticky Paws Studio soon. We thought Dolidze won. But like Goz said, we weren't watching every second of every round. Although we watched 95% of it. I'm just saying, nothing like how the judges are. You know, we're looking at each other as we talk. And so, yeah, you could miss something, right? But look, here are the scores. Basically, there was about 15 scores for Vettori at 29-28. About the same for Dolidze, 29-28. One score for Vettori, 30-27. And two scores for Dolidze, 30-27. But here's how the judges had it. It was Ben Cartledge, David Lethaby, and Paul Sutherland. In round one, Cartledge and Lethaby, judges one and two, went for Dolidze, 10-9. Sutherland got Vettori, 10-9. If I recall, Dolidze actually wobbled the Italian Dream. And that's why I thought, even though they both ended basically on their feet and, you know, able to walk to their corner, I just thought that, you know, him staggering him like that, him hurting him, that was the most significant part of the round. And that's why I went for deletes.
Mm-hmm. It was a close fight, but I felt comfortable with that score at the end. And granted, there is some bias in the room, and I get that, and sometimes it can bleed over. But I remember when the scores were announced, the arena booed, right? And that's kind of like a good feeling of where you're at. And so I thought, okay, it wasn't just us tripping. But they both landed big shots. That's the thing. So, yeah, it might be one of those where you go back. Like, I remember when Peter Yan lost to Sean O'Malley, I remember thinking, this is just an absolute robbery. Then going back, I thought, well, all right, it's a lot closer than I thought. But that was kind of the same thing. You know, a lot of booing, a lot of people in the room kind of disagreeing. This one, I'll go back and watch again, too. But I felt pretty comfortable with the story unfolded in our studio.
Yeah. Well, I was the only thing I didn't like was the 30-27 for Vettori.
Yeah, that's wrong.
I just thought that was a bit much. But look, I'm going to continue the breakdown here. In round two, all of them went 10-9 for Vettori. And I think I felt pretty comfortable with that. And we discussed that in the studio as well. And then round three, I think a lot of us felt the Leeds may have won that, but all three judges were consistent and they gave it to Marvin Vettori. So that's what we asked from the judges. They seem to be consistent on rounds two and three. And again, with us admitting that we don't catch every single second, and they obviously have the best seed in the house, and who am I to argue if those are the scores? The one I didn't like, though, was Paul Sutherland's score of Vettori 10-9 against Roman Dolidze in the first round. Although it wouldn't have mattered because it still would have been 29-28. So now I just need to rewatch it just for my own personal satisfaction. That way I can be honest with myself and go, oh, yeah, it was just my lean. I probably bet him on a parlay or some shit. Who knows what? But, you know, fight's over. Marvin won. What Marvin didn't do was – it wasn't an emphatic win. Like it didn't get you excited for what, you know, what might be next. I thought I was expecting a finish from either guy. And Vettori, usually when he stomps on guys, he suffocates them. You know, he kind of like really, really delivers an ass cooking. And this time that didn't happen.
This fight was a little harder to judge for me because, you know, when you look at Vettori's record, his losses only come to studs. But I feel like Roman had such a good fight and showed that he improved so much that he could be one of these future studs that we're talking about, right? And maybe Marvin just got him a little earlier. But the one thing that I still don't really like about Marvin Vettori's game is that he's just willing to take a punch to give one of his own. And you can't do that forever, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Kind of what I have felt about Gagey and Chandler and some of these guys over the years. But by the way, you got me curious. I did pull up O'Malley versus Jan just to see their scores one more time. And you know that night goes? 7-10. It was probably about 25 to 30 Peter Jans, either 29-28 or 30-27, and one O'Malley.
Really?
Yeah. And it was Matthew Wells, by the way, our colleague who we love, but he's the only one that went O'Malley 30-28. I guess he got it right. He should be laughing at me, but I just felt like, you know, he got that one wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a weird night, man.
Mm-hmm. I'll never stop saying it. Because of this, what we just discussed, the onus is on the fighters to convincingly win rounds. Otherwise, you're left with the possibility of being Peter Jan at UFC 281 or Roman Dolidze at UFC 286. You might just be that guy. You know, empty the tank, man. More activity, more action. And that way, there's just no doubt. Okay. So the earlier fights in the night, Jack Shore defeated Makwan Amerikani. Chris Duncan defeated Omar Morales. Yanel Ashmose defeated Sam Patterson. Mohamed Mokaev fucking gutted it through, man. I've never seen a leg bend that far back and not tap to Jafel Filio's knee bar. And then to top it off, he comes back and gets the rear naked choke, then climbs the fence, even though he's got a wobbled wheel. That dude is... promising. I hope it's not a serious injury, but if it is, speedy recovery. But I'm already excited for the next Muhammad Mukaya fight.
And I want the UFC to get behind this guy, man. He is a talented fighter. He has a lot of what they like, but they just don't seem to get behind him too much. And I hope they do. And I'm with you. I hope that injury isn't too bad because momentum, man. I want him to gain it.
Lerone Murphy defeated Gabriel Santos. Christian Leroy Duncan defeated Dusko Todorovic. Jay Cadley defeated Malcolm Gordon. Joanne Wood defeated Luana Carolina. Jai Herbert and Ludwig Klein fought to a majority draw. Veronica Hardy defeated Juliana Miller. One thing I wanted to say, I could have sworn last year I saw that bot that triggers the whole somebody's no longer in the UFC, and I could have sworn I had seen Joanne Wood's name there. Huh?
It was, but then she filled in on short notice, right, or something like that. I think that's why
it was.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Here she said she has one fight left on her contract and she wants to resign, or this might have been the last one. And Dana said, we're going to sign her. We love her. So I just wanted to apologize if I got it wrong. And at some point they never parted ways and I just saw it wrong. Then, you know, good for JoJo. I think she's earned her keep. She's been chugging along for a few years now and seems to be a great representative of women's MMA across two divisions. Cause now she's at 125. She started at 115.
Do you ever see her Jeep around our neighborhood?
Yeah.
I think our license plate's Dr. Neville or something like that.
Yeah, I don't see it a lot, but I have seen it. I've seen it a little bit more towards the rainbow side.
Yeah.
So there you have it, folks. That's UFC 286 in a nutshell. You know, really, really fun event during the day. And again, thank you to everybody that showed up for the watch along or tuned in, I should say. Thanks, Derek Nixig. Ode Osborne popped in for a little while. Bobby from Fight Junkies. Austin, our producer. It was really, really cool. Ghost does a great job getting those keys to victory lined up as well so that we hear from big names in the sport kind of giving us their idea of who or their breakdowns of who they think might, you know, come out on top. So that was pretty solid. And then as I scan the news here, the only other thing I can think of, this is big, can't leave this out. Anderson Silva in the UFC Hall of Fame. He'll be in the Pioneer Wing. I'm not even going to get into it because now people are going to go, George, did his tampon fall out or what? He's just bitching. But just this should have been done a while back, but it's here and it's great and that's that. But can you think of anyone goes that's going to go, yeah, I don't think he should have made it. I mean, well deserved.
No way. No way. This dude was like the representative of MMA of our sport, like why it grew so fast at certain times where you know how they like Kleenex or Q-tip.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people just that's the first name that would come out of their mouth was Anderson Silva. Oh my god, that guy's amazing. He was amazing, dude. He absolutely deserves to be in there.
Well, he did some stuff that I don't think we've seen since then.
What do you mean?
Well, what I'm saying is he did some stuff out there in the octagon.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That I don't feel like I've seen before. Like, I've seen guys kind of move their head and clown, but like, it all looks so smooth and seamless, you know? Like, there's been a lot of bobbing and weaving, but not everyone was like as smooth as he was.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like every fight, I don't want to sound like Dana White, but every fight he would paint a new picture. I remember Dana used to call him an artist or something like that. But yeah. The presentation did a good job of showing those different highlights, you know, when he's walking back and egging Stephen Bonner to throw against the cage, or when he's kind of bobbing and weaving and Forrest overcommits and boop, he hits him with a jab. Or when he jacks up Chris Leben in his first fight and then he starts doing that little samba dance. Or then they kick right up the front to the face of Vitor Belfort. Rearranging Rich Franklin's nose. You know what I mean? Like, everything was just so different. And I think that's why we all tuned in. Why this guy wasn't, like, some sort of a bigger pay-per-view star, I'll never know. But, god damn, man. I can't wait to see the next Anderson Silva, if there ever is one.
Yeah, I don't know. There's certain types of fighters that come along that just can't replicate. Mm-hmm. You know, he might be one of those guys.
I mean, think about the balls goes to when he asked Chael Sonnen hurt in that second fight. Remember he threw that knee and we were like, whoa, 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 you just need a down opponent because Chael was on his butt, remember?
Yeah.
And he delivered it right to the chest. That was a thing of beauty. Or in Chael Sonnen fight number one, where he's basically getting manhandled for four rounds. And then he still locks up the triangle. I mean, that's clutch. Like, that's why I say it was always something different. And it was breathtaking.
Mm-hmm.
So, congrats to Anderson Silva. Tomorrow, again, spinning back click. Check it out live, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Best way to remind yourself? You can set an alarm. You know, I want you guys to get used to, because I think I'm seeing a lot of the same names pop in, which tells me they like what they see, they like what they're here, and they're making a note to be there always on time and participate in the chat and hang out. And so go to youtube.com/MMA junkie video. And then there's this little bell you can hit there, which kind of will give you the alert of when we're live, or just set an alarm, man, for every Monday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Tune in. I know there's a lot of stuff going on. Ariel goes, starts up right after we're done. I know the Anik and Florian podcast, they go live sometime during the middle of the day as well. So a lot of stuff out there for you, and you can kind of catch it all pretty much one right after the next. So give this a shot if you haven't. And thank you, as always, for tuning in to MMA Junkie Radio. Still got a lot more headed your way, including some real cool stuff we're going to be doing for PFL, because they're going to be in Vegas in the next few weeks. So be on the lookout for that. All right, we're out of here for tonight. Thanks again for everything, and go out and be a champion. Talk to you soon.